15. And behold, a Canaanite woman came out from that region and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." But he did not answer her a word, and his disciples came to him and kept asking him, saying, "Send her away, for she is shouting out after us." But he answered and said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed at once.
Semester. I know a lot of studying going on right now, a lot of effort in trying to prepare to get those good grades. We certainly appreciate your presence. We're going to have another student devotional tonight. We're going to try to make it maybe a little briefer. I'm going to be talking about evangelism opportunities during the holidays. We'll have some discussion, have our typical singing, but if you can be a part of that, we'd certainly appreciate you being with us in that. Looking forward to it. And it will be at the Godwins. And we appreciate the Godwins volunteering to do that. And looking forward to being there. Last week, we had a visitor, John Smith from Tampa. I've known him and his family for several years. And he was telling me that one of his daughters was thinking about coming here to Auburn. And maybe another child come to Auburn. And we just got a report today that John had what may have been a very major heart attack. He lives in Tampa, and I haven't confirmed the details. I've just simply got that report, so you may want to certainly remember him in your prayers. Tonight, I want to do a simple lesson, a lesson regarding persistence, staying with it, sticking to it. I know that in this audience, we think a lot right now about football, don't we? Think about the season. Think about the potential. And it's interesting, whenever a team is in competition for a national championship, there's several things you look back on the season and see. Number one, you have to have some luck. There has to have the balls bounce a certain way. There are those games where you escape by the, just by the skin of your teeth. It seems like, for years with Auburn, it does seem like they have a little more exciting seasons when it comes to things like that. And certainly this season has been one where you think it was over, you think it was down, and then come back. But it's not just luck that creates that environment. There's also a persistence.
And that's a neat thing, too, in life. There are times you can be down in life, could I say, 24 to nothing, and you fight your way back, you stay with it. I like from my sports to learn lessons from life of how you need to understand in order to win, it's not going to be easy. In order to succeed, you've got to fight through difficult things. Men that are great in history are great because of their persistence. And when we talk about persistence, we're talking about the tenacity. We're talking about a willingness to hang in there, to stay with it. American Heritage Dictionary, it says it means steadfastness, singleness of purpose, as in the pursuit of a goal, despite difficulties or obstacles. Perseverance suggests praiseworthy and enduring patience. I will say plainly, If you're going to make it as a Christian, you've got to learn this. And one of the things, as you look back, particularly our students, your time here, you'll see many Christians you've come to know and you appreciate, but 10 years from now, there are going to be some that fall by the wayside, 20 years from now. And so it's important that we develop a persistence. You know, in order to have a persistence to be valuable, you need to be persistent in the right thing. One thing I want to try to appeal to in this congregation is, again, something we've talked about many times, is our young couples. We're trying to raise children, and we're trying to have our children go to heaven. We're wanting our marriages to be what they ought to, and that's going to take persistence. Those are valuable things that don't happen overnight. They don't happen in a few months. But we need to have a great goal in mind. And again, if we're going to accomplish good things, it's going to be because people consistently over time have stayed with it. Over the years, I've known of some very talented people in the church. Great speaking ability, great knowledge, great song-linging ability. But I could readily say that the people that I know that have been the most powerful and their influence for the Lord have not been the most talented. It's been the most persistent ones. I'll mention some names now. These were older men when I was young, and so I don't think anyone here would know these men, but there was a man years ago at 77th Street by the name of Bud Sparks. He was a car salesman. And Bud didn't have a lot of money, didn't have a lot of ability. But one thing he did, he took an interest after the teenagers and the young people. And there were many times he would come to me and others, "I'm going to a gospel meeting. Would you like to go?" And he says, I was not sure I wanted to go. Then he told me somebody that was going that I was interested in going with. Oh, okay, well, I'll go. And he found ways of getting young people together and doing things. I've known of other men like that at various levels, not just dealing with young people. When I was at North Gardendale, a man by the name of Preston Painter was a man whose health was declining. He had to carry oxygen into the congregation toward the end of his life. But he was a man that was very encouraging to others. If you were not there, he would call you. You see, when we talk about the work of the Lord, it's not just the one who just in a flash of brilliance does things. We've got to understand, as Christians, we take the long view. We have to understand that I'm going to do what is right because it is right and not because it is easy, because I feel like doing it. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith the virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Goes on to talk about that's how we enter heaven. How do I develop perseverance? And we'll talk about that. You know, when you enter into marriage, that's one of the things you got to understand. Enter into marriage, it's forever. One of the things in marriage, one of the things Yvette and I did early on before we married, and I think it's wise for every couple. As we talked about on the Sermon on the Mount this morning, Jesus says there's only one cause for divorce. And what you really need to do when you enter into marriage is that marriage is permanent, and you don't even ever bring up divorce. You don't bring up divorce as a threat. You don't bring up divorce as a possibility. You don't even think that. Don't even introduce the word, because that's the nature of the relationship. As we talk about persistence, again, we'll probably move along in this outline and just hit a few points here, but some things are very obvious. Persistence does not quit. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." What causes us to quit? You know, who knows where you're going to be at? And, you know, right now we got a lot of people here. It's easy to be here, easy to attend church here, but go to Virginia. Go to some other places in the world where you may be meeting with a few people and it's not encouraging. I guess it's not if it depends on your mindset. You know, I think you can be in a small group and be very encouraged. It just depends on your mindset, what you're thinking. But there are going to be occasions where you feel like quitting. So Winston Churchill, one of the great leaders of World War II, gave a commencement speech. And here was his speech, I think, in its entirety. "Never give in. Never give in. Never, 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 never. In anything great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense." You know, as we've talked about already, persistence has more value than ability. We read about the ones who had the various talents. It was the ones that used them that were blessed, that used them over time. Here the Lord says, so take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents, for to everyone who has more will be given, and he'll have abundance, but from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Persistence. One writer says, perseverance can do anything which genius can do, and many things which it cannot. Genius, that power that dazzles mortal eyes, is often but perseverance in disguise. You know, the real tough battles are not won overnight, and we need wisdom. Perseverance is a great teacher. And we talk about, you know, how do I get perseverance? Well, you got to suffer. Do you want suffering? Well, if you want to grow, you're going to have to suffer. Perseverance, the value of it comes when you fought your way through it. You know, sometimes we see football field, we see teams quit. I don't like that. I don't know about you. I can't stand to see a team quit. And if it's my team, I really don't like it. Now, sometimes they say, I didn't quit. We just got worn out. Well, that's different. But I don't like teams that quit. And I think there's a reason for that. You don't want to be a quitter in life. The things that are important in life, you can't quit. You can't have that in your vocabulary. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 3, it says, and not only that, because we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, I will tell you something. The formula here is not always true. Tribulation does not always produce perseverance, because if you quit, then you're going to stop at tribulation. It's not always going to be easy. Congregations go through troubles. Marriage goes through troubles. When you're in a job and a work, you go through trouble. Raising children, you go through trouble. You're not going to accomplish anything in life if you only do it when you feel like it. And that's the thing that frustrates me with immature Christians. Well, I didn't feel like coming to church tonight. I'll just go when I feel like it. Not if you're understanding what we're trying to do here. If you're understanding your need. Persistence helps us. Persistence accomplishes. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. You know, it's the grace of God that strengthens us. One of the reasons why we can be persistent is because we understand the love of God. We can be persistent because we know our God cares about us. He's not going to forsake us. He's not going to lie about us. He's not going to let us down. He's not going to disappoint us. In scriptural terminology is that we're not going to be put to shame. I love my Lord. I want to see Him. I'm going to stay in His work. Persistence is commanded. You're familiar with Revelation 2 and verse 10. We'll just read the last part of it. It's talking about persecution. It says, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. Will the Lord let bad things come into my life? Yes. Will the Lord let people disappoint me and lie about me and stab me in the back? Yes. Could I be forsaken by my own family and my own children and left alone? Yes, it can happen. Has the Lord given up on you when He lets that happen? No. We're going to show you some examples, of biblical examples of people when it just seemed like it was all over, that I will not quit. And they're great examples in that. Jesus is a great example of persistence. Have you ever wondered what was going through Jesus' mind at Gethsemane? Have you ever wondered, because this would have been tough for me. You know, when you go through a difficult and painful thing and you can get out of it, wow, that's interesting. It's like, you know, if I'm exercising, working out at a weight machine or something, and it hurts too much, I can quit. But here's Jesus on the cross with all the agony and all they're trying to provoke him to anger, and all he has to do is lift his little finger, figuratively, call for those angels, and he's down from that cross. He's healed. No more pain, no more agony, but he was going through that cross for a reason. Notice the mindset in Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, before we get to Jesus, notice the cloud of witnesses. You know who the cloud of witnesses are? It's found in Hebrews 11. It's people who never quit. people who were in difficult circumstances. People in Hebrews 11:35, they did not accept deliverance. They didn't take the easy way out and compromise their faith. Now notice Jesus, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, Jesus looked at the long view. It was joy, pain, and suffering, and hurt, and disappointment. But with the purpose of God is joy. Like any athlete, any football team that has to go through pain and hurt, they're looking at the prize. They're looking at the prize. I want the prize. The pain is worth it because I've got a purpose in mind. And you know, the greatest examples that you'll know in your Christian life will be people who went through that kind of pain and they hung in there. There are times you feel alone, but I'll guarantee you, you go through the pain and you make it. You stay consistent. And we have members here just like that who under suffering and other issues, they're here when they can. They're going to be here and encouraged. That is the kind of mindset we need to have. It was because Jesus saw you and I in our need that he went to the cross. He saw the finish line. God is another persistent one. Our God is persistent in seeking us. Now, I'll have to tell you, as we try to be persistent, we're not always persistent. There are times sin overwhelms us. There are times we give in to sin. Have you ever thought that way? When you've given in to sin, you're kind of thinking, well, you know, God must give up on me. Here I am. If ever all the Christians knew what I've done and what I was thinking, man, they would not have anything to do with me, and God must not have anything to do with me. You don't understand the nature of our God. I can think of my dad patiently trying to teach me a new sport. he loved baseball, and he taught me baseball. And he would want to go out in the backyard, and we'd play pitch. I broke a few windows. And I can remember, you know, the frustration sometimes that he would have with me. But he, you know, it didn't mind if I broke a window. Let's get back out there. Let's go back at it again. Notice what our God is doing. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. One thing true about my God, he doesn't give up. He wants me to repent because I have sinned. It's not over. That helps me. That helps me get back up. Because my God does not quit. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, it says, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. If we can see ourselves as God does, I believe we will have a great encouragement in that. Now let me tell you about another one who's persistent, and that's Satan. Countries go through moral climate change. You know, people talking about climate change. Well, we're having a moral climate change in this country. And you study history, generally speaking, when countries start going down, there's rarely a turnaround from that. It can happen. But we're living in a time where you go to TV, you go to government, you go to whatever, people are not going to encourage you to be faithful to God. Satan has one single-minded goal. Notice the warning in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Notice, sufferings. Satan will never make you feel comfortable in this world if you're serving him. Now, I'll tell you, he would love you to take worldly religion. He doesn't matter if you brag on Jesus and brag on the Bible and talk about good things, as long as you're worldly, because he has you. But as you serve God, he's going to find ways to undercut you and make you feel isolated and hurt you. He is persistent, persistent, persistent. And one of the greatest weapons he's got is finally for us to lose our heart, to lose our thoughts, to lose our mind. As we talked about this morning, bitterness. There's other things, envy and lust and other things that he can use, the pride of life, where we no longer want to see. Satan can do that. And Satan has the world, and so he's after us. And so it's very important, and I know with this group, I'm so thankful for the interest this group has shown. And I appreciate that what we're doing with our assemblies and doing in other opportunities that people have, we've got to be serious. We have an adversary that's serious. You know, how many times have you seen, let's go back to another football illustration. Have you ever seen a team with greater talent, but they're not serious? You know, I remember last year there was a game, and there was this team with great talent, and then the reporter went in, and he said, on practice, they all had their iPods on, and they were kind of goofing off and laughing. And then he went to the other team they were about to play, and buddy, it was like a boot camp. They were disciplined, people were focused and hitting and doing all these things, and the guy changed his prediction for the game. He says, man, these guys are serious. These other guys are lax. You know, you don't want to fail in persistence. You can fail and get back up, but you could fail and not get back up. The angels, how would you like to be one of the angels of God? You know how many times you get back up as angels? Zero. No plan of salvation for angels. The angel's plan of salvation is one strike and you're out. In Jude verse 6 it says, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Let's talk about some examples now. Again, we're going to touch on these, not going to read all the verses, but one great example is the parable of the unjust judge. Here was a woman that wanted justice. In verse 3, she's described as a widow. Now, there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. Have you ever prayed to God and you really, really wanted an answer? Have you ever had a situation where you really, really, really needed God's help? Now, we have that a lot if we sing as we ought to. God is telling us something here. He's saying, okay, guys, you want my power in your life. Here's an example to follow. And what she does, she keeps coming to this judge and coming to this judge and coming to this judge. And the point that Jesus is making is verse 6. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cries out day and night to him, though he bears long with her? See, what happened? Her continual coming got an answer. Persistence in prayer. Our God says we do that, we will be blessed. Another thing that we should look at in the parable of the talents, we've already made reference to. But let's talk about the Syrophoenician woman. Let's go there. That was in our reading. This is one of my great, to me, encouraging examples of persistence. Matthew 15:22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. I try to think of things that I hope I never have to experience in life. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought, what would be your worst fear? What would be the thing that you would dread to face more than anything? And I'll have to tell you, it would be regarding my family. It would be regarding my children or my wife. I think I could have bad things happen to me, and I think I would be much more happy with that if I had to make a choice than my children to experience something. But now imagine a young child, not even accountable, being demon-possessed, being severely demon-possessed. Why did the Lord let that happen? He doesn't tell us why he let it happen. There wasn't anything wrong with the child's soul. The child was right with God. But now the mother got to see a situation where her daughter could throw herself into the fire, could kill herself, that maybe the demon could speak through the child, and you can hear a demon of hell speaking through the child. You're talking about absolute terror and absolute wanting a deliverance. But the one thing about this woman, she knew where deliverance came. Now notice her attitude. She pleaded for help. In verse 23 it says, but he answered her not a word. Now, Jesus didn't say a thing. Now, why did he do that? I think we'll see why in a moment. He knew this woman's faith. Now, if the first woman was shallow, he knows my need. If he's son of God, he would help me. He's not answering me. I'm going to leave. I'm mad. Nope, not this woman. Notice what else happened. His disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. Could you imagine having a deep need like this? And you start off being ignored, and then the followers of the one you're trying to seek saying, oh, she's bothering us. I'll tell you what, you give me one chance to save my child or to save my loved one, and I've got that one chance, I'm going to make a ruckus. I'm going to be heard, and I'm not going to quit. Verse 24, he finally answers. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What's that saying? You're of the wrong race. Again, if she was missensitive, how can that be? I'm a human. I was created by God. What do you mean? Because I'm not of the right race. But you know what she does? She keeps going. Verse 25. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. I want to tell you something. We're not talking about cuddly little puppies. What Jesus is talking about here, dogs in this culture likely were looked down upon. It would be almost like calling your child a rat. But this woman knows who Jesus is. She knows the nature of God. And here's all these obstacles, and she does not quit. Notice her answer. And she said, yes, Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Persistence. Now, one of the great ways to gain persistence is you know who God is, and you know His blessings, and you know that in this life there are going to be things thrown at you that in the short term you might not understand. Never quit. You know how we probably or likely have been hurt or will be hurt by our own brethren. The thing that I've seen to cause most Christians fall away is that you get some situation, maybe some doctrinal difference or maybe some terrible division in a congregation, maybe somebody saying things about you and you get hurt and you can't let it go. And you quit. Don't do that. Don't follow quitters. Because one thing's going to be for sure. Could you imagine quit the Lord because somebody hurt you in a congregation and you stand up before the God on Judgment Day? Why did you stop serving me? Well, somebody offended me. Now, could you imagine this Syrophoenician woman standing up and the Lord called to him? Well, here's a woman who had all kinds of causes to quit and she didn't. You be the one in judgment that will be the example of the one who never quit. How do we build persistence? Know where you want to go to. I like how Paul put it. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Let me say something, Christian. If you have doubts, study them out. We have great evidence to know there is a God, to know there is a heaven, to know the Bible is God's Word. And I know we're bombarded through all kinds of programs trying to undermine that. You need to know. And you can know. I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm not talking about naivety. But I'm talking about knowing where you want to go. And part of this is not just evidence of the existence of God, is knowing the nature of God, as we've talked about. You know, what's the finish line look like for you? I'm using some phraseology here for a purpose. You need to become a traditional Christian. And what I mean by that is that there is a tradition that the Bible speaks of, that when the Bible uses tradition, many times in Scripture it's talking about that which was handed down from the Lord. The tradition literally means a handing down. It could be a handing down from men by what men came up with, but many times in Scripture, we're talking about a handing down from the Lord. Have those things that the Lord has given. Understand how truth comes. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. The good thing which was committed to you, kept by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. We need to be a people who have great reverence for the Word of God. Scripture memorization. Quoting Scripture, memorizing Scripture, getting our mind as much as we can into Scripture. You know, a lot of people today, when they're talking about being non-traditional, they want some kind of fad. They got some kind of fad, and there's churches of Christ now. You'll go to them, they'll clap their hands and they'll wave their hands, they'll rock back and forth. There's some now claiming direct operation of the Holy Spirit, and they're trying to mimic some of the Pentecostal movements. And it's exciting, it's new, it's non-traditional, and I'm excited. But guess what? You keep doing that for a while, that becomes traditional. And that is repeated, and then you need something else new, and you go from fad to fad to fad to fad, and that is people that have no foundation. I want sound words. I want to hear the old gospel. I want a mind that is set from the direction of God. As Jeremiah 6:16 says, seek the old paths. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the way and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you'll find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Another thing we want to look at as we talk about persistence is that you got to start. It would not be uncommon in an audience of this size to have some people that they're not yet Christians. They're not yet really taking care of the sin in their life, and they know they're not serving God, and they want to serve God, but they're not there. Well, you know, you can't be persistent if you don't start. A lot of people are afraid. Let me tell you what happens to the fearful, the cowardly. But the cowardly, unbelieving, and abominable murderer, sexually immoral, sorcerers, adulterers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. If you never start, you're persistent in going to hell. And you don't want to be persistent in that. Some of the quotes we have on the chart are in the outlines, and I'll let you look at them. Another thing that's important, just like in football. What was it, a play? I guess it was in the Alabama game where a guy got blocked out of the play. And he had every reason to quit. But he got back up and he was persistent and he ran and he ran and he ran. And at the very end, he created a fumble. And it was kind of interesting watching the replay because he didn't quit. I thought about that. To me, that was probably one of the key points of that game. Here was a guy that he could have said, well, I'm blocked out. The play's going on downfield, but he wouldn't quit. You be that kind of person. When you're knocked down, get back up. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 8, it says, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. Here we're going to see paradoxes here. As unknown and yet well known, as dying, behold, we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. What you see here is that the Christian's life seems to be a life of contradiction, but it's not. We don't let bad things hurt us because we understand what reality is. It's not the physical disappointments, but the spiritual reality. Another thing that is important as a Christian is to be optimistic. Now, brethren, I'll tell you, sometimes we associate wrong people. Now, I don't mind being around people that aren't optimistic because I'm going to try to give them some enthusiasm. But there comes a time sometimes where you're around the wrong people and they're just always, oh, whoa, it's me. And, oh, boy, this bad's going to happen. And then that is not the way to live for the Lord. Philippians 4:4, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I will say, rejoice. Fear and pessimism oftentimes will make you want to quit. Real faith is optimistic. And then finally, you need to be willing to pay the price. I don't know what price you may have to pay. I don't know what we may experience. You know, we could experience persecution in this world. We could come the time being a Christian, being an assembly like this would be unlawful. There can come the time if we did have an assembly and we taught certain things that we could be arrested for it. I used to think that would never happen in this country, but, you know, those things could happen. But notice what the Lord provides for us. He doesn't tell us we're going to be freed from trial, but He's going to be with us. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God of the new Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven and from my God. I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I'll give you one more point and then we'll draw a conclusion. And that is, don't stop because of unjust criticism. You know, we've talked a lot about brethren, but the Bible talks a lot about brethren. If you study the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, there was a group of people attacking Paul, trying to hurt his influence. Here's an example of one church. Could you imagine if you were in this church? There was a man by the name of Diotrephes who, whatever reason, he gained control over the decision-making process of that church. The Bible says, therefore, if I come, I'll call to mind his deeds which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. I wish to tell you that I've never seen anything like that happen in my existence, but I would be wrong in saying that. There are times that local churches go through a situation because of a lack of leadership in the men and because of maybe somebody who's very driven, that sometimes a person can gain control and wreak havoc. Should you quit? No. These men that experienced this didn't quit. Quitting is simply not an option. Abraham Lincoln made this comment: I do the very best I know how, the very best I can. And I mean to keep doing so until the end. If the end brings me out all right, what is said against me won't amount to anything. If the end brings me out wrong, then angels swearing I was right would make no difference. Be right, do right, stand upon that which is right, and never, never, never quit. Hebrews 10, we'll do the invitation on this. Hebrews 10, I'm going to go ahead and skip down to the last part of the outline. Hebrews 10, 35. What happens if we quit? Well, listen to this. Hebrews 10 talks about people who had suffered, who had invested in their faith in the Lord, who had others who suffered and they were joyful, but something happened. Something happened from that time where they were strong and now they were drifting backwards. Notice the warning that is given. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Brethren, I will tell you, the battle is never over. You need to be faithful till death. And it's interesting, I've seen people at their older age at times throw their faith away. It's not just the young that do that, but let's not do that. Why would you live your life and make all these investments, teach your children in the way of the Lord, go through all these and get down toward the very end and quit? Don't do it. Our Lord is faithful. Our Lord will forgive. Our Lord will provide. But there's one thing our Lord will not do. He will not make you do right. You have the ability to quit. But I pray that that will not be in the vocabulary of any of us when it comes to the will of God. Can we encourage you tonight, rather than quitting, to start? I want to extend the invitation for those to become Christians. I want to extend the invitation to Christians who are discouraged to turn around and be strong, to turn around and get back in the fight. I know that men, we fail you. We're imperfect. But we serve a perfect God who knows us, who knows what we need, and who will provide. If you've never yet become a Christian, we urge you to obey the gospel, to obtain the blessings from the blood of Christ by a faith that's willing to yield, to turn, to submit. We'd love to baptize you into Christ even this evening. And Christian, let's be encouraged. Let's be encouraged by the example of Jesus, the example of Moses, the example of men of faith, example after example and after example in Scriptures, the cloud of witnesses that tell us the path to walk. I hope we've been encouraged. If you need to respond in any way, would you come as we stand, as we sing?